Scott has asked me to read three short passages for the devotional this morning. So I'll take a little time so you can find each one. I'll be reading from the New American Bible. The first is Leviticus 19:32. That's Leviticus 19:32. Stand up in the presence of the aged and show respect for the old. Thus shall you fear your God. I am the Lord. The second is from Deuteronomy 32:7. That's Deuteronomy 32:7. Think back on the days of old, reflect on the years of age upon age. Ask your father and he will inform you. Ask your elders and they will tell you. And the last passage is from Luke 2, verses 36 and 37. Luke 2, verses 36 and 37. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in age, in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Good to be together this morning. At what age does an old person start to lose value? That is an unsettling question, provocative question, just for you to kind of maybe bristle at that question and dwell on that. As you may have figured out from the text that Marianne read this morning, we're looking at what the Bible says and shows us about how to treat the elderly and the aging. Of others and ourselves as well. And some of us are here this morning thinking, I'm not aging. True, it may not feel like it and or seem like it, but each day that God gives us is one that we don't get back. And so our clock is ticking whether we feel like it or not. We are aging. There's definitely days and periods in our lives where we may find that that denial of aging comes very easily. And there may be other days or periods where the aches and pains are reminders, and it's not so subtle. We're created in the image of God, each one of us here, despite whatever imperfections we think we may have or that others may think that we have. And we're told all the way back in Genesis that he created us in his image. Does God think less of us as we become older and older? Are we really not made in his image as we get old? And as our odometer reading starts to show very high miles. What do the scriptures tell us about the worth of the elderly? It's clear from scripture that the elderly, the old, the gray-haired, the white-haired, were given much respect and honor, or at least they were supposed to be given that. If the Israelites from Bible era were plunked down in North America today, they might be a little bit bewildered at our near worship of youth and the sometimes shelving of the old and the elderly that seems to happen in our culture sometimes. We can be glad, though, I think, that our church and church in general does a lot better job than our culture does in regards to the elderly. Leviticus 19:32 says, stand up in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I am the Lord. So this verse tells us God's heart for these things. Paul, in his message last week, told us that Bible verses are often best understood in the fuller context of a passage. One verse is not just a standalone thing, but it's part of a greater story. So what is the fuller context here in Leviticus 19? The beginning of the chapter starts off, verse 1, the Lord is telling Moses to speak to the whole congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I am the Lord your God, I am holy. So the context is God's holiness and because he is holy, we are to be holy. Just as God is different in his righteousness and in his holiness, we are to be different from those who do not follow God and do not believe. We're to be separated. We're to be set apart. Not necessarily to go start a commune in the middle of a desert or go off to Alaska to live in a wilderness cabin, but that we should be changed. We should be different. We should be committed, consecrated, dedicated to God. In English, we have the common saying, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. As followers of Christ, our saying should be more something like, when in Rome, don't do as the Romans do, at least as far as ungodly and unrighteous practices are concerned. Which is not to say that the Romans didn't have some admirable and noble things. They certainly did. If we take a job and we're on the clock and we're speaking on behalf of our employer, we're representing them. We become the face of that company. We're the spokesman or spokeswoman, or we're an ambassador for that company. And if we're conscientious, hopefully we take that responsibility very seriously to not do our company a disservice or misrepresent them. So God wants us to be holy because we're like that company representative, only we are representing God. No pressure or anything, right? Israelites are instructed to honor or revere their mother and father as well. This is so important to God that it's in the Ten Commandments. It's the fifth commandment. To honor father and mother, family or church or community cannot endure if children don't honor and respect their parents. Exodus 20:12 says, honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Some cultures make it a lot more visible that they have respect for the elderly, and other cultures maybe not so much. The honor and respect for elderly and the infirm, it comes back to the golden rule, love your neighbor as yourself. The elderly person is not just an elderly person as a label, but someone with hopes and dreams, disappointments and fears, just the same as anyone else. Walking the timeline from youth to middle age up to the golden years and beyond, they have their dignity, they want to be honored and respected, just like we all do. Even if they might tend to be kind of quiet in public. In our culture, we might hold open the door for an older person or let them go first in line or have seats closer to the front of church or to a performance to better see, to better hear, like at a theater or something, musical event or church. In other non-Western cultures, like Japanese culture, for instance, you use different language. You use more formal means of address to speak to elders. And in cultures where you bow as a sign of respect, you bow more deeply to someone who is older. The older they are, the more respect you show for them. So you bow very deeply to a very old person. Deuteronomy 32:7 says, remember the days of old, consider the generations long past. Deuteronomy 32:7. Ask your father and he will tell you, your elders and they will explain to you. My great uncle, I think he's 95 right now. He's a fount of local information, family history, and just area history as well. When he passes on, a lot of information and knowledge and experience and stories will pass with him that no one else will know or remember this side of heaven. There's great value in the experience and wisdom of those who have walked this earth with God for 8 or 9 decades. If our faith or our practice starts to become dull, it starts to drift. If our gratitude and our memory for the things that God has done for us dissipates, our fathers, mothers, elders can remind us and help put us back on the right path, right track. And then the last verse that Marianne read this morning is from Luke 2 about the prophetess Anna. There was also a prophet Anna, daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old She had lived with her husband 7 years after marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but she worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. This is not an unfamiliar passage, but it doesn't seem to get a whole lot of study or comment. Why is it important? This is a woman who by now is very old, and she spent a really long life as a widow, being married only 7 years, but being 84. Women, as we know, were not thought of as highly as they should have been in that society. Additionally, being old and being a widow, she didn't have a very elevated status for those reasons in that place and time. But she has a place, she has purpose, she has value. She has found purpose and meaning through worshiping day and night and in fasting and praying at the temple. Societies and times have changed, and they're certainly changing here in our society. There's an interesting website that deals with aging gracefully, the needs of the elderly. It's called silvercentury.org, appropriately. And just a little paragraph here, a little two-sentence thing. Throughout the 20th century, lifespans kept increasing. In 1900, the average American died at the age of 47. That's sobering, especially if you're on the other side of 47. By 2000, life expectancy had soared to just under 77. Significant. Many people are still active and healthy. So there's been a radical change in longevity and health in just roughly 100 years or so. And so our society and our church needs to change and adapt with the changed demographics and aging. As a body of believers, as a church family, are we supportive and encouraging of the elderly? Are we looking out for the spiritual and the physical and the emotional well-being of everyone and equally the needs of the elderly? Or are we completely focused on the children and the young adults? It seems like in churches that have a lot of programs, the programs tend to taper off or be non-existent past the age of people in their 40s or 50s in that segment, and are focused mostly on the youth instead. Talking about other cultures that tend to respect the elderly visibly made me think again of Japan. One of the first phrases that you learn if you go to Japan is the Japanese phrase for "nice to meet you." But it's a totally different meaning, translates completely differently, and what you're actually saying in Japanese is instead, "please treat me well," or "please look after me," or "please take care of me." Nice to meet you is what you're saying in Japanese. And so that seems to me like a group of people expressing care and respect for one another, sort of carrying each other's burdens in a New Testament sort of way. The Japanese people, as a general rule, are not Christian at all. It might be like 1 or 2%. And yet here they seem to demonstrate a Christ-like care and responsibility for one another and for the whole, for the collective, for the group. The passage about the old widow, Anna, shows that even if someone's mobility is limited and their hearing might be limited or their vision is limited, someone like Anna was still able to camp out at the temple and pray and fast and worship God. Whatever other limitations we may have as we get older, the ability to pray and worship continues on, and that is a great blessing. The elderly have physical needs. How are we looking out for those physical needs of the elderly? Are we not offering help when help is needed, or are we being pushy and pushing help on someone when they don't really need it or want it? Discernment is needed for each case, I think, to be able to respect each person. Physical strength diminishes over the decades, and speed diminishes as well. And this is the snowy part of the year, and snow removal is definitely a measure of strength. And ice and snow are a test of balance and mobility. I called my mom this week, and she indicated that she was just staying in the house. She wasn't going to go out because of the snow and the ice. Older folks have emotional needs, just like we do. They need friends, probably more than one, and people to listen to them, share with them, and care about them. Older folks may have a sense that they're coming to the end of the road, coming to the end of the journey. There's a coming to an acceptance or not being able to accept some of the things that have occurred in their lives. Because the hour is late and the sun is setting for them, there may be disappointment over how certain things have gone in their lives. There could be some anger or bitterness about some things. At an earlier stage in life, there's a greater window of opportunity for achieving goals or working out relationships that are difficult or severed. But at the late stage of life, many of these things can no longer be worked out or resolved. There's only time to accept the current status for a lot of it. People in the upper decades have seen their parents pass away. They may have seen a spouse pass away. They may have lost all of their siblings, some or most of their friends, possibly their children or grandchildren as well. There's also coming to acceptance of physical and mental limitations that may occur. A lot of people have a strong sense of independence and want to do it themselves. Accepting the help of others for things we used to do ourselves is difficult. I was thinking this week about all the children's books that we've read growing up, where there's some cranky old man or woman in a derelict house in the neighborhood that the kids think is haunted. Why is that? It's probably a person without a friend, without a caring connection. Someone sitting around thinking about the things that didn't go right in the course of their lives. Perhaps they're suffering from immense loneliness and they're cataloging their failures and their mistakes. Paths not taken that they wish they had taken. Strained family relationships or other difficulties. And then the cranky storybook people make a whole lot more sense viewed in that light. So I think there's a huge opportunity for the church right now because I read that there's 15 years worth of baby boomers turning 65 years old. So a lot of people becoming hitting that senior age range now. Many developed countries have increasing numbers of elderly. Even 85 plus is a booming category, but there's diminishing numbers of births and diminishing numbers of young people. So perhaps now more than ever, we have the opportunity to show Christ's love and Christ's care and respect to those who go before us and have lived very long on this land. I think you all know I've been doing the STEP program this is the third year now, and halfway through the third year. And in this year, we've been looking at how the church can move out into the community to show Christ's love to the community. I've been communicating with the folks at Country View Manor, which is the retirement care facility over at the Buck, and they are welcoming for us to come and connect with some of their residents and get to know them. And I've been working on planning for how we can sort of get that started, and I'll have more details to come in the next few weeks for how that can work. One other scripture that stood out from this is Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, the discussion of Corban. I think that word only occurs one time in the Bible. And Matthew chapter 7, verse 11 says, "But you say, if a man tells his father or mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is given to God." And this is Jesus giving the Pharisees some grief for being so conniving through this practice of declaring something devoted to God as a gift when they're using the word Corban. Jesus knew that the Pharisees are very devout or devoted to the law, but he also knew that they were selectively practicing the law when it suited them. and they were just doing this more for personal satisfaction or personal gain than out of love or from the heart. They were choosing to not honor their mother or their father, as the commandment said. They're saying that their money or the resources are dedicated to God, pronouncing it Corban, so that they could shortchange their parents and not give the parents what they needed. So Jesus is calling them out strongly for two things. One, being heartless and insincere. And secondly, that they're shortchanging, bypassing, skipping and dishonoring parents who raised them when the parents had real needs. All right, so when we put this all together, we can see that we are created in God's image, and God is holy, so he wants us in turn to be holy as well. And part of being holy is showing honor and respect to all, regardless of age or social status. Our population of elderly continues to grow because of demographic shift. Churches have often focused on the young and the middle-aged, and perhaps assumed that the oldest portion of the congregation already had it all together, knew everything, and didn't need anything. But the needs for respect and care and interaction and friendship never go away. So we have to ask, who is my neighbor? Who should I help? Is it good to help? Generally, yes, it's good to help. It shows respect and care. Does the other person necessarily need help? Well, hopefully they can be honest and forthright and say if they don't actually want help. But an offer to care is almost always going to be a positive interaction in most situations. Even a crusty old curmudgeon is probably secretly grateful that someone cared to inquire or offer help. We all desire to be thought of and cared for, no matter what age we may be. So let's close in prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you're holy. Thank you that you care for us. Sometimes it's hard for us to want to treat everyone equally and see them the way that you see them. Fill us with empathy and care for people of all ages, and especially the elderly, as we looked at this morning. And help us to honor them, respect them, and to honor our mothers and fathers as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to make you stand without blemish in the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.